today into John chapter number 20. Find also John chapter 9. I believe I see Miss Dallas over there. Is that correct? Good to see you. Amen. Always good to see folk rode up in church come back, and I appreciate that. All right. John chapter number 20. Let's stand, please. Verse 30, 31. These have been our two text verses that we've used in a series of messages. Here's what it says. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, in John chapter number 9, verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Pause there just a moment. In your bulletin, you'll see on the second page of it, I am the light of the world. I did not know that was going to be in the bulletin, but it's a good thing to put in today, because that's what I'm going to be talking about, light. And here he said, while it's day, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. Let's bow our heads and pray and ask God to help us here today for a few moments. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege we have to be here in the pulpit. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, but what a great responsibility. I ask in Jesus' name, God, that you help me. I need that divine touch. I need the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray in Jesus' name that you will rebuke the devil, the spirits of evil that may work and will be working against us and against the preaching of the Word of God. I pray today for every unsaved in the house that the Holy Spirit may work in their hearts, and that they may see their need of a Savior, and they come to the light. I pray today you'd help those who are saved and they're struggling and maybe out of fellowship with you. I pray you'd help them, help all of us draw closer. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the light. And I pray in Jesus' name, God, help us realize that we do have light to walk therein. I pray that you'd help us today magnify yourself, get glory, and speak to hearts and do the work that needs to be done. We'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We've been talking about these miracles and seven of them that here in John, that consecutive in order, and three of them tells how to be saved, three the results of salvation. Right in the middle is that story of the feeding of 5,000, how the gospel is spread abroad is by the same way that Jesus gave those disciples the bread and the fish, and they gave to the people. God gives us something, we got to give it to the people. God gives every one of us something. If we're saved, we have salvation, and we need to share that with the people. The first three we talked about, you say, preacher, you get through this series, we're going to know it by heart. I hope you do. I hope you do, and then go out and share it with somebody. And chapter 2 talked about Cana, the miracle, first miracle that he did in Cana, and turning water to wine. He filled the water pots, six dry water pots, up with water to the brim, and Jesus did the miracle. We need to fill them up with the Word of God, salvation by the Word. Jesus' mother said, whatever he says to you, do it. That's pretty good. Over in James says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. And so he said, do that. Then that centurion had a son that was dying back in Capernaum, came to Jesus and asked him to come and help him. And Jesus said, go thy way, thy son's healed. And he believed the word of God Jesus spoke. And salvation is by believing. We must believe what Jesus has to say. And believing it is acted upon it. That man acted upon that. He believed what Jesus said and believed his son would be all right. Then we talked about the blind man at the pool of Siloam. No, not Siloam, but by the pool of Bethesda. He was there and paralyzed, couldn't get to the water. And we're not going to go into all that. But anyway, Jesus came by and hundreds or 50s or how many was there. But there's a lot of people around that pool waiting for the water to be moved so they thought they could be healed if they could get there. And Jesus stopped by his place and talked to him. That's grace. He could have stopped by any one of them, but he stopped by that particular man. And he got healed and got up and walked away. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad for salvation by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. I heard the word of God. God generated faith. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And it's the grace of God that brought it to me. I didn't deserve it any more than anybody else. Born in America, heard the word of God. Brother Stennett Ballou says that, I believe, every time he preaches. But I thought about it. How true that is. How thankful we ought to be that we were born in a country where we heard the word of God, had the privilege to be saved, and acted on that word of God that we heard by faith. And it's the grace of God that brought salvation to us. And I say hallelujah. And that man walked away whole. I say today, thank God that I'm saved, born again by the grace of God. Had unmerited favor. Then we talked about John 6, just mentioned that a while ago. And last week we talked about John chapter 6, later in that chapter, about stilling the storm and peace. Man doesn't have any peace until Jesus comes in his life. Does he really have peace? There's a storm raging in everybody's life. That's lost without God because they're trying to find life. They're trying to find something to satisfy. They're looking for something. But let me declare unto you today, there is nothing that'll bring peace to your heart outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will bring peace if you'll let him save you. Amen. I remember my young life. I used to look for life, tried to find life. And I want to know what it was about, why I existed, what purpose of it, and what did all this amount to, and where did I come from, what I'm doing here, where am I going? And one day Jesus came by, life came by me and found me, and thank God I began to live. When God's amazing grace came in, I began to live, found out what life was about. I had peace in my heart that I'm right with God. Used to struggle with that, used to worry about that, but thank God for that peace that God gives when you really know you're saved. And then for you that are saved, and myself included, I thank God for the peace of God. You can have peace with God and be out of peace of God. You can have peace with God because that's salvation by grace through faith. That's settled. But that peace of God is something we get as we depend on him, consider the lilies, as we day by day live our lives in obedience. That peace of God floods our hearts, and we can enjoy the peace of God as well as being at peace with God. I'm glad for that great truth. Now, today, I want to talk about the light. And salvation brings light. This man was blind, but salvation brings light. And you ever heard somebody talking about something and you're trying to explain it to them, and then all of a sudden they'll say, oh, I see. They mean I understand. I've got it. You know why out here in the world people act like they do? Because they're in darkness. They can't see. They're blind. Ephesians 2:1, you have quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses, and dead men don't see anything. And blind people don't see. And they're out here. They don't understand. I was talking to somebody maybe yesterday or sometime. We were talking about the fact of how people live today, what's happening, the ungodliness, the filth. Things happen that I never dreamed would see happen in my lifetime. But why do they do that? Because they're blind. They can't see. And it's like the man was way up in age when he got saved, 80-some, I believe, and he got saved and he stood up to testify. He said, I don't see why everybody don't get saved. It's so good. But he lived 80-some years without Christ himself. And when he got saved, he got in the light. He couldn't understand why everybody couldn't see the light. And I can't understand it either, except for the fact they're in blindness and darkness, and they don't see it like we see it. And the world don't see things like we see things. I say, thank God for light. I'm glad today that he gives us light. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. Aren't you glad for that light that you can walk in and that you have light? There's three things I want to say today and talk to you about. And let's talk about it. And I want to clarify this. And first of all, let's talk about the sinner. This man was a sinner. Look back, and we're going to look at the first three verses of our text. And you look with me. Jesus passed by, and that's a message in itself when Jesus passes by. I'm not going to preach that today, but that's another message. I'm glad Jesus passing by here this morning. And you're here not by accident, but by divine appointment. You're here and preaching. And God came by, and he's coming by right now preaching to you, and you're blind. But this said this man was blind from his birth. Blind from his birth. And we came into this world sinners from our birth. Amen. I realize babies are taken care of, and I realize children have not reached an age of accountability are taken care of. And God takes care of that. But I'm talking about we were still sinners. Children are sinners. Babies are sinners. And I know we like to look at them sweet little babies, and we talk about how sweet they are. And the Bible says they come from the mother's womb speaking lies. Amen. They may be sweet looking, and they are sweet, and they are precious, and I love children and all that, but every one of them are sinners by birth. By birth. And born, inborn in us. Amen. And I've often said, and I'll say it again today, you do not have to teach children how to lie. They'll lie to you in spite of it. Amen. And I never met anybody yet that ever had to set their children down and say, I'm going to teach you how to tell a lie. They had to set them down and say, now, don't you tell a lie, and teach them to tell the truth. And it's always better to tell the truth. And we try to always instill in children those truths. But the Bible said this man was blind from his birth. And so, but let me say this about being lost without God. We're not only sinners by birth, but we're sinners by choice. Amen. Every one of us chose to sin. And so we're sinners by choice. And we like to think about it, well, it's just all Adam's fault. Well, Adam did sin. Eve did sin, did plunge the world into sin. And that's true and that's right. But you chose to sin too. Amen. And so you, the blame, we're bad to place the blame off on somebody else anyhow. And even Adam and Eve did that. And Adam said, Eve gave to me. That woman you gave me, she gave it to me. And then she said, well, that serpent out there, he deceived me. And you know how it goes. And we try to pass it on somebody else. But let me say today, we're sinners because we choose to be sinners. Amen. As well as by birth. But he's blind from birth. I got to get off of that. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, I look at that question a little bit. The man was born blind. And they asked, did he sin to make him blind, be born blind? He born that way. They asked the question, did he sin to make him that way? Now, I know God knows everything in the future. Maybe they're thinking of it in that way. I have a little problem understanding exactly the question here. But he asked the question, was it because of his sin or his parents' sin? Now, you can answer that however you want to. I'm going to leave that where it is, but what the Bible says about it. But then said, why was this man born blind is what they're saying. There had to be some sin in this man's life or some sin in the parents' lives that God knew about, and this man born blind. But now notice verse number 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, he did not say. Now, you remember when you study Bible, you compare scripture with scripture. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I just a while ago told you that we've all chosen to sin. And so what he's saying here is when neither this man sinned nor his parents sinned, he's not saying they wasn't sinners. He's not saying they never did any sin. He's saying that's not why he's born blind. That's not the reason he's blind. The reason he's blind is for the glory of God. And so I thought about Paul in his affliction, and he asked God to remove that thorn in his flesh. God said, not so, but my grace will be sufficient for you. And all sickness doesn't come because of a direct, and I thought about this recently. I examined myself, why am I going through something? But I think it's good to examine yourself. But all sickness doesn't come because of some direct sin in your life. All of it is a result of sin back there. And there's never been any sickness at all. Man had never sinned. Got that? But because we have sin, we do have sickness. And sometimes God does judge his people by sickness. And sometimes he chastens his people by tragedies in their lives to get their attention. And so I think we always ought to examine ourselves and see what's going on. But that's not always necessarily the truth. Job, that man of God in the Old Testament, and what he went through and all that he suffered and all that he lost and all that he went through, it was not because of sin in his life. Although God did help him see some things in the end of his life, that was not the reason he went through all of that. The reason he went through it was that God said that he was a man that would keep his integrity and a man that would love him and serve him. Devil said, you're just doing that because you blessed him. And sometimes God has blessed us, and God has really helped us in many ways. And somebody, one of the deacons this morning in the office before we prayed said, I looked around and see so many people that's hungry, people that are asking for this and that. God blessed me so well, I have nothing to complain about. I say amen to that. Amen to that. God has blessed us. But what if all of a sudden you lost everything you had? And what if all of a sudden you didn't have anything at all? What if all your children died at one time? What if everything was taken away at one time? And how would you react to it? Job maintained his integrity. Now, he asked God some questions, and God had to help him a few things in the latter part, but I want you to know Job wasn't suffering because of sin in his life. He was suffering for the glory of God. And I say today, sometimes that's true. In life, suffering for the glory of God. In John chapter 11, when Lazarus was sick, Jesus said that sickness not unto death. He did die. But Jesus raised him from the dead. But said that sickness is not in the death, but for the glory of God. And so today, there's a lot of things happen to us that's for the glory of God. Can't explain it. I had a cousin call me up from California yesterday. And I believe it was yesterday or Friday one. And we was talking Friday, I guess. We were talking a few minutes. And he's asking me how I was and all that. And he said, I don't understand why you had to be sick. I said, God knows the best of everything. God doesn't ask me about what I think's best. He does what he thinks is best. And I'm no better than anybody else. And I don't have any monopoly on God. And God can do whatever he wants to do. And so God, how I handle it is what God's looking for. And I want him to get glory. Amen. Brother Mark has mentioned it to me. He wants God to get glory. I say hallelujah. Others over here wants God to get glory. I've heard Angie mention about her life and what she wants. Hey, sickness may come. Sickness may happen. Tragedies may come. But oh, let's give God glory. God saved us. We didn't get anything else. We got everything we need. Amen. When God saved us to keep us out of hell, take us to heaven, glory to God. How much better can it get than that? And so praise his holy name for his goodness. Well, let me move on quickly here. Let's look at the Savior for a minute. And Jesus, verse 3, I've already read to you, but verse number 4 and 5. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. Night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And so Jesus said, he's the light. Do you remember? He also said, when he's going away, that ye are the light of the world. And you remember the message Brother Don Farmer preached here about the moon? And a great message, and how the moon doesn't have any light of its own. It only reflects sunlight. And I heard that on the West Coast, they had an eclipse the other morning. And the moon looked like red because the earth passed between, hitting the sun. But it didn't have to have the shine that it usually had because it was blocked out. And we as Christians, we sometimes don't shine like we ought to shine because we let something blot out the light, amen? And that light, that's another message, but it's a good one. I think I'll preach it just for a minute. And we allow things in our lives that blot that light out, and others can't see the light because we're letting something pass between us and God, amen? And we need God's fullness of light to reflect so we can shine for the glory of God. I say hallelujah. We need to shine for him. Amen. Well, he said, I'm the light and I'm working, and he is the light and he's the life. He's everything. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world have blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And I say hallelujah. Well, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what it says. I say today, praise God, I'm glad it's not hid to me. I'm glad the light did shine. I'm glad the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shine one day. And I saw the light. Amen. We sing that song, the song, I Saw the Light. I'm glad I saw the light. Amen. I'm not going to ask Brother Mike to sing it right now, but anyway, I'm glad I saw the light. Thank God for the light. Amen. Amen. And so Jesus is speaking. Now look in verse 6 and 7. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now, I want you to get this picture. Here's a sinner. He's blind from birth. Here's a Savior. And he's telling he's a light. This man can't see anything. He's in darkness. So he certainly is thinking about light and sin. And Jesus spits on the ground. Makes me think about it. As men, we spit. You ladies sometimes think we're being impolite. Jesus spat on the ground. I just thought I'd plug that in. He spat on the ground, got down and made some mud out of it. And then he plastered it on the eyes of the blind man. Now, that sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? You ever get dirt in your eyes? Get a speck in your eye, and you want to get some more and wash it out. You want to get a drop of teardrops or something to put in your eye to get that dirt out, because it irritates your eyes. And you want to do something to get washed so that it won't be irritated. Here, this man had clay, the dirt and spittle, put in his eyes, and there he was. Can you imagine how that irritated him? Jesus said, go wash. It wasn't any problem for him to go wash. He needed that to wash out of his eyes. I want to plug in something here right now about preaching. Preaching will irritate you sometimes. I get a little disturbed when unsaved people go out and say, I enjoyed the preaching. Amen. If they didn't get saved, I'm not too sure. I'm glad they enjoyed it. I'd rather it irritate them. Amen. Preaching ought to irritate, and preaching irritates saved people sometimes. Preacher get to preaching on living for God, doing what's right, and they'll get irritated about it. But that irritation, if you'll react to that irritation right, you'll let Jesus wash you up and clean you up. Amen. You get to preaching, telling people about God and telling unsaved they're lost, going to hell. And they get irritated sometimes because they don't like to hear that. They think, I'm as good as everybody. See, they're blinded, they're darkness. So they don't see it like we see it. And you tell them they're lost and they're going to hell, they're sinners. And, oh, no, I'm a good husband. I'm a good wife. I don't steal. I don't cuss. I don't drink liquor. And you say, well, that's not the issue. Issue is that you're a sinner and that you're going to hell without God. I'm glad sometimes sinners get so irritated they come and get right with God. Amen. I'm glad sometimes it bothers them so bad that they get uncomfortable and they come and get right with God. I found this to be true. People that are unsaved, if you really preach, they'll come for a while. But if they quit coming, you can rest assured, most likely they're running. And if they'll keep on coming sometime or other, that clay's going to get in that dirt in their eyes so bad, they're going to want to wash and get somewhere and get cleaned up. Amen. I say today, then saved people. Let me just preach to saved people for a few minutes. And you get to preaching about a shameful man to have long hair, they get irritated about that. You get talking about preaching about the house of God and how you ought to dress, they'll get irritated about that. They don't like that too good, you know. But you know how it goes. And get talking about church is more important than ball games and golf, they get irritated about that. and making money. You know what I'm talking about. And you preach living for God. Your body's a living temple of God, and that you need to give a living sacrifice unto God. And God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to serve Him. God wants us to give to Him for His glory. God wants us to get involved in missions. God wants us. I mean, that'll irritate sometime, but oh, praise God, if we'll just let it irritate us where we want to worship. Hallelujah. You remember that laver? I love to preach about that laver because it was between that sacrifice and that holy place. And those priests would come by there and they'd wash their hands and their feet. And hallelujah. I love to preach about that because that's how we are. We're in this world and we get contaminated, and sometimes it's things in our lives that we don't even realize in our life. But if we ever see that dirt and get irritated about it, we'll want to get to that laver and wash up and get in the Word of God and let God cleanse us. Amen. And pray and repent and ask God. Well, preacher, that's good preaching anyhow. Amen. That will help you and that'll help me if we'll realize the fact preaching is not just to make you feel good. I want people to enjoy preaching. I don't mean I don't want you to enjoy it. Kids sing that song sometimes, "I Love Preaching." And they talk about going from point to point to point to point to point. I just get hung up on two or three points. But anyway, they say they love preaching. That's good. I want them to love preaching. I want you to love preaching. But there ought to be sometimes you ought to go out and say, you know what? That preacher got on me today. Kind of bothered me. You go thinking about it and say, God help me. That's what we want to happen. God help me. Amen. Well, then let me close out here. Verse number 7 said this man came seeing. Can you imagine? Been blind all of his life. He was a grown man. I'll read it to you in a minute. But he'd been blind all of his life. Met Jesus, and Jesus spit on the ground, made clay, put it in his eyes, irritated him. And he went to the pool of Siloam and washed, did what Jesus said, and came seeing. Can you imagine him coming seeing? I don't believe he's walking around saying, I think I see. I hope I see. He said I could see. He was looking. He was seeing. Wasn't any maybes or minds about it. He was seeing. Now look in verse number 11, the same chapter. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they always get upset about when Jesus does something. And here they're asking about what had happened to this man. He answered and said, a man that's called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed, and I received sight. Then verse number 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he may see, he seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. They threatened to throw them out of the synagogue, so they didn't know what to say. Then verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Amen. Hey, if you ever get saved, while you was lost, you'll know you're saved. Now, you may have some doubts later, but I'm talking about when you get saved. Amen. Then said they to him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, ye did not hear. Wherefore will ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now, he said, can't you see that I see? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Man's making some good statements. Since the world began, was not it heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou was altogether born in sins, and doest thou teach us? And they cast him out. And Jesus heard they had cast him out. When he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Hallelujah. Light. Are you in the light? Could you honestly stand and say, I know I'm in the light. I once was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege to be saved. Thank you, Lord, that even though we were born in sin, born blind, yet the light of the glorious gospel of Christ came by. Thank you for that light. And I pray today that light would shine in somebody's heart. Lord, here today, people that's unsaved, lost without God, I pray that light shine in and they could see enough to know they need to repent and believe and trust Jesus. I pray today for those who are struggling in situations in their life as saved people need to come and bring it to Jesus. Have your way in this invitation, Lord. We're glad that you can help us in any situation that we're in. Thank you for what you do for us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to stand, please.